Great. I'm going to need two volunteers to come up and have a look at what's in this bag. It's not tricky and it won't be embarrassing. Liz, come on. Come on. Two. You can come too. Great. Hello. Your challenge. What can you tell about me from these? You can take them out of the bag, show everyone.
They're sandy.
Sandy, we've got my lovely wellies, white with red ladybirds on.
Adapted.
Bit spotty, adapted, yes. Size average, yeah, is that all right for you?
You like being outside?
Oh, do I? Are they muddy?
No, they're sandy.
They're
sandy.
On the beach.
Yeah, been to the beach.
You like insects?
They were a present. Anything else? What are they looking like inside? No.
Very hygienic.
Oh, that's good. Oh, they're not worn very much, whichever you prefer. No, I didn't clean them specially for coming. Brill. You have deduced a few things. They're sandy, I've been to the beach, average kind of size, they've got insects on them, maybe I like that. They've been adapted. All these wellies are a bit too... Brill. Thank you very much. You will find out more later on. I'll leave those there. You can take the bag. So, did you know there's a website called ruralromances.com? I'm not a member. And they actually match prospective couples based on their wellies. Apparently, your choice of wellies can tell a lot about who you are or who you might want to be. And they match people up in rural communities based on their wellies. We learn a lot by looking at people, don't we? Even just looking at what they saw on the surface, James and Liz were able to say, you've been to the beach. Maybe you like red and white. Maybe you like ladybirds. But what about when this happens? I walk around like everything is fine, but deep down inside my welly, my sock is sliding down. Things in life are coming off course and nobody knows. Maybe we haven't told anybody because we're trying to just keep going. Or because we find it hard to ask for someone's time. But when things are going wrong in our lives, we can so easily enter this vicious circle where we isolate ourselves at the time when we most need our friends. And that's what we're going to be thinking about this evening, close friendship. You and I were created to be significant, first to God, and secondly to each other. God created everything, and he said it was good. Seven times he said it was good in chapter 1 of Genesis. Strangely though, when creation was completely perfect, before sin had entered the world, Genesis 2:18 reads, "The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone." The first not good of all creation was to do with aloneness. Even though God was in the midst of that man's perfect world, he said, it's not good for you to be alone. And this verse isn't just about marriage. It's about that thing that every great marriage is based on, friendship. God wasn't just saying Adam needed Eve. He was saying people need people. Our desire to connect with each other, whether that's online or face to face, isn't a result of sin in the world. It literally comes a chapter before then in the story. Our desire to connect with each other is because humans were never made for isolation, and that's why loneliness feels so horrible. Loneliness is not just about being physically alone. It's that feeling that no one really knows us. No one connects to us. We're not connected to anyone else. Just last year, the Office for National Statistics published that 2.4 million people in Britain had reported suffering from chronic loneliness last year. And that's just the ones that are reported, and that's an epidemic. Loneliness is a hugely relevant issue in the UK this year, and sadly, we're not immune to it. But God's heart is that we might have deep and fulfilling friendships, and he provides a guide for that in the lifeline that we're going to be looking at this evening, which is the lifeline of Ruth. So let's turn to the book of Ruth. It's in the Old Testament. It's between Judges and 1 Samuel. There's quite a lot to read, so I'll give you a bit of the backstory. Imagine this as a film. The opening music's playing, and we're transported back over 3,000 years when famine swept the land of Israel. Many left to find sanctuary in other places. Among them were Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and their sons. They settled down in a new place called Moab, where the boys married local girls, Orpah and Ruth. But soon tragedy strikes. Elimelech and his sons all die. Devastated, Naomi decides the only thing to do is to go back to her hometown now. So our camera angle changes. We're zoomed in on a dirt track, far outside the safety of the city. In the burning sun, they're on their way home. The girls, Ruth and Orpah, mother-in-law Naomi, they stand facing each other. And Naomi makes the speech that she's been building up to. So Ruth 1, verse 8, Naomi says, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home." Ruth and Orpah start to weep. Naomi kisses them goodbye. They insist, verse 10, "We'll go back with you to your people." But then Naomi says, "No, return home, my daughters." She goes on to explain they've no hope of finding another husband. Orpah leaves, but plot twist, Ruth won't let go. Verse 14, Ruth clung to her, literally holding on tight. Ruth makes a speech of her own, and we pick it up in verse 16 of chapter 1. "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. And may the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." And when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. The solution to loneliness for Naomi was never going to be popularity with everybody. It was going to be intimacy with just a few. And Ruth makes her an incredible promise. "Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Who you worship, I'll worship." And I'd love to tell you that the rest of this talk is going to be about finding your Ruth, getting the best friends for yourself. It would be step one, move to a foreign land. Step two, endure tragic events. Step three, attempt to abandon your remaining friends on the side of the motorway, and if they love you enough, they'll come with you. That's not what we're going to be talking about. Just thinking about ourselves and how to get a Ruth is not how we are going to be God's light in the darkness of this chronically lonely country this year. The Bible is our guide on how to do life together, and it teaches repeatedly that the way to self-fulfillment is self-sacrifice. Jesus said, "The way to find your life is to lose it for my sake." So I'm not going to explore how to get a Ruth, fun as that would be, but rather how to be a Ruth with three life hacks for developing deep friendships based on Ruth's promise to Naomi. These hacks aren't applicable to our every relationship. It's an illusion, absolute illusion, that we can be close friends with absolutely everyone we meet. Even if we could, we'd be exhausted. We're going to be thinking about how to develop a few genuine, deep friendships that bless others. And since God's so good to us in his kingdom, it's often that in giving we receive too. If you've been badly bruised in a friendship, Perhaps the idea of being a Ruth is already turning you off and you're already shutting your ears. If that's you, I want you to know that you're not alone. King David wrote in Psalm 55, "If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. But it's you, my companion and my close friend." You know, if we're vulnerable with our friends, there's always a chance that we're going to get hurt. But the only way to guarantee we won't get hurt is to just have surface-level friendships that we don't actually care about. It might seem safe, but by numbing ourselves to the hurt that a friendship might bring us, we numb ourselves to the joy and the life that a good friendship could give us. So if you've been really hurt by friends, we'd love to pray with you later on so you can enjoy some of that joy, knowing that God promises he's close to you. But in the meantime, I'd urge you not to shut down to this message, because good friendships can totally be worth the risk, and that's what we're going to be thinking about. So, friendship hack number one is based on Ruth's first promise, "I will go with you." Ruth's life would have been a whole lot easier if she just stayed at home. Naomi didn't have a husband or children. Ruth didn't either. And worse, Ruth was from Moab, and she wasn't even Jewish. When they reached Naomi's homeland, Ruth was going to be a nobody, an outsider in every way, some nameless shadow behind her mother-in-law. Did Naomi want to go on alone so that Ruth didn't have to face that? Maybe. But love compelled Ruth to sacrifice what was comfortable and to turn around and say, "I'll go with you." Friendship is about going somewhere with someone, isn't it? At its simplest, it could be going to a shared interest, to the row, to tap dancing, to fridge magnet making club, or whatever it is that you and your friends might go to together. At its simplest, friendship's about going somewhere with someone. But at its deepest, going somewhere with someone is about having a shared purpose. And in Christ, we all have a shared purpose. Ephesians 2 verse 10, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We might have differences in our dress sense or our temperament, but we are called to serve Jesus together. In this place, at this time, we are called to serve Jesus together. Within the church family, each of us make our own choices about who we feel safe to be vulnerable with. And that's okay. We respect each other's choices. Girls, it's good to be wise in your deep friendships if they're with guys. You don't want there to be misunderstandings. The same goes the other way around. Whatever age we are, as Christians, we're called to have pure relationships with one another, to have pure friendships, to treat one another as family. Well, here's a quote from the American drama The West Wing. It says, "Our victories are sweetened and our failures are softened because we did them together. Because we succeeded together, it's good. Because we failed together, it's better than if we failed on our own." That's so true. How precious it is that we get to help each other to find strength in God for the journey. So, hands up if you've read The Lord of the Rings. Hey! Hands up if you've seen the films. More! If not, spoiler alert, they're about this hobbit called Frodo. And he has to throw an evil ring into a huge volcano. It just takes him 12 hours of film to get there. And at one point, Frodo realizes how evil this ring is. And he decides the best way to protect his traveling companions is if he goes on alone. But in fact, Frodo's just isolating himself. He's making himself more vulnerable. And that's where we pick up the story. We're going to watch a clip of when Frodo tries to get away. Caroline. Going alone. Of course you are. And I'm coming with you. Anyone else have to be that strategic in the way they help their friends? In our closest friendships, where we know each other well, where trust is mutual, our role is to be a Sam. It's to be that guy who said, of course you are, I'm coming with you. And it's not always easy. When people we love are struggling with illness, with redundancy, with anxiety, with bereavement, they might be tempted to go to Mordor alone. It might feel like self-protection, so that no one will treat them differently. It might feel like friend protection, so that no one else gets burdened with that issue. That urge to go it alone is the same thing Naomi has. Look, she says to Ruth, verse 15, your sister-in-law's going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth's response is like Sam's, I'm coming with you. They're going together. So who's journeying in the same direction as you this year? Who might you share some purpose with? Are you open to God using you to be a Ruth to them? Even if it doesn't come naturally to you, I'd encourage you to make the hard calls about which friendships to invest your limited time into, and then be intentional about it. Look beyond the pattern on the welly boots. Your friend might be thinking they'd be better to go it alone, but Ruth's first hack for building deep friendships is this: go together. So, there were plenty of reasons why Ruth might have turned back from Naomi, not least that Naomi was so down that she changed her name to Mara, which means bitter. Imagine that dinner time conversation. So, bitter, how was your day? There was absolutely nothing good left in Naomi's life. But Ruth was going nowhere, and she risked everything in the next part of her promise, which is going to be our second hack for building a deep friendship. Ruth said, I'll stay with you. The world treats friendships like phone contracts. Friends stick around while there's a good deal, upgrade when the costs outweigh the benefits. But taking that kind of approach in our friendship just seems to breed insecurity. Our friends end up thinking, I need to be a good deal, otherwise they'll just be friends with someone better. But real friends are the people who walk in when the rest of the world is walking out. Who are the people who, if their life went wrong, if they lost their money, their job, their marriage, their family, their health, their looks, you would still be there for? And back to the hobbits. Sam said he's coming to Mordor. He's dived into the water after Frodo. Turns out he can't swim. He's sinking. See what happens next. Did you hear what Sam said then? I made a promise, don't you leave him. And I don't mean to. How do you think that promise made Frodo feel? Maybe a little bit awkward to start with. But in a world where friendships come and go, this kind of commitment makes a safe place. A place where both people can be themselves, take off their welly boots, and be honest. Are their socks sliding down? Are their socks gone completely? Are their socks pulled up and things are good and they want to celebrate that together? Friendships make a safe place. Tim Keller writes, to be loved and not known is comforting but superficial. It's fake. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is a lot like being loved by God. Knowing one another and loving one another anyway. That's a lot like what God does for us, and it helps our friends to relax into the security of knowing that they're accepted. Here's another take on this. The friend who can be silent with us in a moment of despair or confusion, who can stay with us in an hour of grief and bereavement, who can tolerate not knowing, not curing, not healing, and face with us the reality of our powerlessness, that's a friend who cares. Sam couldn't take the ring from Frodo, but he could refuse to abandon him. And that's the same assurance that Ruth gave Naomi. She didn't say, "I'll sort out your problems." She said something far simpler, but really powerful. "In the midst of all your problems, Naomi, I'm gonna stay." Seems like God often shows his faithful love through the faithful love of his people. Ruth didn't leave it there, though. Verse 17, she's declaring, "Where you die, I'll die, and there I'll be buried." She knew how to build a speech, didn't she? Naomi had probably got the message by now. "I'm going, I'm staying, now I'm dying, now I'm being buried." But the language was actually quite appropriate for Ruth, because this friendship was going to involve some serious dying to self. It was going to involve committing to continually shift her mindset from me first to you first. Our culture says that the ultimate expression of love is sex. But Jesus said, John 15, "There is no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends." The ultimate expression of love isn't sex, it's sacrifice. There'll be seasons when persevering in deep friendships is going to cost you dearly. In time, in emotional energy, in forgiveness. But it will be worth it. That friendship will be strengthened if you stay. I've got to make clear, though, that I'm not talking about staying in abusive friendships. There is absolutely a time when it's right to step right out or to step back, to walk away even. If that friendship's destructive, it can be right to walk away because you've got to stay safe physically, emotionally, mentally. What I'm talking about here is about good, trusting, two-way friendships when one person's going through tough times. Maybe both people going through tough times, clinging together, and saying, "I'll stay." So, who are the people who, when they face difficult times, will find you swimming towards their boat and saying, "I can't fix it, but I won't leave you. I can't make your problem better, but you know that I love you." That's friendship hack number two. You don't have to fix the problem, but rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Don't leave. Stay. So, two friendship hacks down. I'll go with you. I'll stay with you. Ruth's third hack for building deep friendship is this. I'll worship with you. We were in verse 16 when Ruth said, "Your God will be my God." This is the God Naomi had distanced herself from, the God she blamed for her husband and her sons dying. And up to this point, he might not actually have been Ruth's God at all. Coming from Moab, Ruth would have been brought up worshipping what the Old Testament called foreign gods, gods who were fake, gods who were made up. They're not real. They're not the God of Israel. But Ruth stood there on that dirt track, standing up to her mother-in-law and promised Naomi, not just that she'll go with her, not just that she'll stay with her. She says, "From now on, I'm going to worship with you." How long had Naomi known Ruth before that day came? Had she been praying like we do, that her friend's heart was going to be softened towards God? In this moment, Ruth surrenders, not just to Naomi, but to God himself. He's going to be their third travelling companion now. He'll be the third strand in the cord. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, but a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And so it is for us that God must be at the centre of our close friendships, to strengthen them, to lead, to empower us to love one another. Going with someone, staying with them, worshipping with them is a big ask. And to fulfill it, our hope can't rest on ourselves, copying Ruth, but only on Jesus. Of ourselves, we have nothing much to offer other people, but in Christ, it has all come to us. As we rely on him, he promises to help us with his wisdom, with his forbearance. Philippians 4, God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. But I've still got a question. Surely the most obvious reason why Ruth should never have gone with Naomi is simply because Naomi told her three times over, don't come. Should Ruth have been being more obedient to her mother-in-law? In this instance, I'd say no. Ruth knew that in trying to go it alone, the vulnerable widow Naomi was making a bad choice. And so she offered her something better, maybe something Naomi didn't feel she could ask for or didn't feel she deserved. Maybe it was what she wanted all along, she just couldn't say. Ruth stood up to her and said, I'll go with you, I'll stay with you, I'll worship with you. And so it was that these two widows made the journey back to Naomi's hometown. And you know, that hometown just happened to be Bethlehem. It was the place where 1,000 years later, Jesus was born. Bethlehem means house of bread. It's the place of provision. And they arrive just as the harvest is beginning. The rest of the book of Ruth tells us that it's here in Bethlehem that Naomi pays Ruth back many times over for her kindness. Naomi becomes devoted to her. She helps her to find her husband, Boaz, with whom Ruth has a son, Obed, and he turns out to be grandfather to King David. 28 generations later, Jesus appears in Ruth's family line. Jesus is Ruth's great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson. And all because Ruth stood up to someone she loved who was trying to isolate themselves. She stood up to her and said, no, I'll go with you. I'll stay with you and I'll worship with you. The love of a friend saved Naomi. Maybe it saved Ruth too. That love was a golden thread in the lineage of Jesus, and it's a golden thread that runs all the way to us, his church, today. One of the most powerful things that we can do to deal with the loneliness epidemic facing our country this year is to decide to be a Ruth. God's master plan for evangelism isn't about a few celebrities spreading the word. It isn't about a few academics outsmarting the atheists. He said, love one another, as I have loved you, and by this they'll all know you're my disciples. So how was it that he loved us? How was it that Jesus loved us? He said, I'll go. He loved us by coming to Bethlehem, humbling himself, making friends, and drawing close. He loved us by saying, I'll stay. He was committed to us at our lowest moment. When we were full of sin and far from him, he came to seek and save the lost. And he said, you'll worship. He loved us by bearing the punishment we deserve for all we do that separates us from God. And he died so we can know God today. And one day we'll see him face to face, and nothing will separate us from his love. We love because he first loved us. So, three hacks for building deep, close friendships based on that promise Ruth made to Naomi. With God's help, I'll go with you, I'll stay with you and I'll worship with you. Go beyond what appears on the surface and invest in a few close friendships this year. And on the day when your friend walks around like everything is fine, but inside their welly, their sock is sliding off, you can be their Ruth, and that will bring God glory. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for the story of Ruth, and we thank you for the Ruths that you put in our lives. And now we pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you empower us to be a Ruth to someone in need. In these months ahead, Lord, show us who it is, who we can say we'll go with, we'll stay with, and we'll worship with. And may it be for your glory. Amen.